This is ensemble member Yasin Payankov, and you are listening to the Steppenwolf Theatre Company podcast.
My name is Martha Levy. I'm the artistic director of Steppenwolf Theatre, and I'm interviewing ensemble member Jan Barford, who is playing the role of Clove in our production of Endgame by Samuel Beckett. Jan.
Yes.
You play Clove.
Yes.
And we know that, you know, in that Beckett is kind of famously fond of the clowning, miming, the vaudevillian. In other words, the whole physical expressiveness in his characters. And your character, Clove, interestingly, is the only person in this play who's capable of movement, ambulatory movement. And so a lot of that kind of physical clowning falls to you. And the opening sequence of the play, in fact, is begins in silence and you're in a series of movements on your part. And it's disciplined, right? I mean, it's very precisely scored in the text what your character has to do.
That's right.
What was it like to work on that? I mean, what do you...
Well, still very much a work in progress. When I learned that I was going to be playing Clove many months ago, I understood that I was kind of lacking in experience in that the area of clowning, and I worked with a friend of mine who does have experience in that area, Paul Kalina, and we met, and he kind of walked me through some of the basics of clown movement, which has to do with the kind of completed segments of each movement. Each motion has a beginning and a middle and an end.
And we should say that Paul Kalina is a member of 500 Clowns.
That's correct.
And trained at...
Oh, gosh.
I think that the Barnum and Bailey Clown School.
I think that's right, yeah.
I think that's right.
Yeah, I'm ashamed to say I don't know, but... But yeah, so I also know that through the course of Beckett's work on this play, he found that he wanted to minimize some of what he had originally created, especially in the beginning, which had a lot of false starts. Clove would set the ladder and climb up the ladder and open the window and climb down and walk toward the other window, forgetting the ladder and turn around and come back and get it. And this was repeated several times. And I think he found that in harmony with a general thing you could say about Beckett's work, he wanted to subtract, to minimize, to locate essence. And I think also he wanted to create a clarity about the relationships, that Clove wasn't this kind of abstract clown that's just existing in the theater as an entertainer, but is very much engaged in many ways in a life and death battle with his adopted father.
Exactly. Okay, and that character of Ham, played by William Peterson, our ensemble member, that's the principal relationship that of yours in that play.
Yes.
And yet it's ambiguous precisely what relationship you two men have to one another. The suggestions of the relationship are what, Jan?
Well, it's interesting you say that, the ambiguity. I feel like Frank has been guiding us more and more toward, you know, you'll remember this, the first day of rehearsal, he enchanted all of us with saying that this is a family comedy.
Yes.
And I think that he's been guiding us more and more toward the motivations and the tactics, like in a chess game, are motivated from the conditions of the relationship.
Yes.
and specifying what the relationship is, that so that for us there is not ambiguity.
Yes.
There may be for the audience, which I think might be purposeful on the playwright's part, but for us, we're moving more and more toward understanding exactly what the history is, exactly what the evolution is, so that this day, the play takes place in a continuous time. It starts and there's no scene break and
right.
the lights come up and it's 2 days later. It starts and there it goes until the end. So that this day when we see these characters, they are at a absolute crisis point, at an absolute breaking point,
mm-hmm.
and things have accumulated up to that point. And, you know, it's for us to specify what that evolution is.
Exactly. Now, do you feel like you want to reveal what that relationship is?
I kind of don't,
okay.
but I will say that the more I learn about the play, the more I understand what Frank meant when he said it's a family comedy.
Yeah, okay. And you know, to say that the audience might find it ambiguous, probably you're right in saying the audience will find it suggestive.
Yes.
So I think that, you know, your dynamic with him is given the kind of trappings of multiple relationships, but
That's
the
right.
central one,
yeah.
this family relationship.
That's right. And there's such a fascinating device in the play where Ham's character, played by William Peterson, is a storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
That's his love. That's his art. So he is in this room with these characters, and from time to time, he's kind of working through his story
right.
that he likes to tell himself. And it could go this way, and it could go that way, and he's inventing it as he goes. But there's a fascinating way in which the fiction bends itself into the reality, and the reality bends
yes.
itself into the fiction. And
just like life.
Just like life. Absolutely. And it's a beautiful device that Beckett is playing with, and certainly as a giant of a mind. I mean, Beckett's literary sensibilities are so profound, and so, I mean, I consider him, you know, on the level of a genius. And one thinks of him that's a reflection of his experience.
Yes.
He's always working on these stories, and
yes,
these stories
yes, that's right.
are weaving in and out of his life. And in fact, you know, when you look at his writing, you can certainly see biographical elements.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very hopeful that people's ears will be attuned to the way in which fiction and reality are kind of both present in this world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that's unusual. I think a lot of times when the curtain comes up on a play, you just sort of invest yourself in, oh, here we are in this room, but also you're in the mind of this writer.
But it's interesting, right, the quote that Frank shared with us by Beckett when people attempt to interpret the work, because they think the work is manifold and it asks to be interpreted because there's an elliptical quality to it.
Yeah.
But what was the quote? Ham, as stated. Clove, as stated.
That's right.
And what in this place and at this time.
At this time, yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting. There's that famous story about Joanne Acolytis's production in Boston at ART. When was that? Late 80s or
mm-hmm,
something?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe whatever that is, you know, 10 or 20 years ago. That Beckett objected to vehemently because she took the play out of what he had stated.
Right.
And he does not want his play to be interpreted in that way. And he prescribes the set. He prescribes where people stand during certain exchanges. Well, I guess I'm the only person who stands.
Gets to move around.
but for me, there are locations where these exchanges with Ham take place. And that's very unique as an actor because, you know, most of the time when you start working on a play, you know, you kind of arrive at this blocking organically, and somewhere in the process you say, you know what? What if I'm over here for this? This would be interesting. You can't really do that with Beckett. So there's a discipline to maintain the integrity of his meter.
And part of that discipline is in that distillation process, he makes pretty rich use of repetition, be it physical or verbal repetition. And your character does it a lot. As a matter of fact, I play the character of Nell, who it's stated in the play is Ham's mother.
Mm-hmm.
You find yourself speaking a lot of, we find ourselves speaking a lot of the same things to
That's
him.
Right.
What about that repetition? Does that present a challenge as an actor to know that you are, you know, introducing kind of these motifs again and again?
Well, again, it's like life. I mean, I have a funny experience. I sometimes will look at these old journals that I wrote, you know, when I was in college or whatever, 15 years ago. From time to time, I'll visit the journal life, and it lasts for, you know, a couple of weeks or something, and then I put it. They all say the exact same thing,
right.
No matter what part of my life I'm writing in. But there's that great quote that Frank shared with us about. I think it was a Beckett quote that habit. What is it again?
Is the tether that keeps the dog chained to its own vomit.
Yeah. So I think Beckett is certainly examining the bondage of habit, the futility of habit, how it keeps us bound in our repetition.
But also the kind of irresistibility of habit.
Because
he was posing habit and routine against those occasional moments of despair, of suffering, the occasional experiences of suffering.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting. I don't find that a dark view. I don't think that he's, you know, casting the world through a dark lens. I think he's looking, you know, because to me the human myth that is true is the Sisyphean myth, not the heroic myth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, we push the boulder up the hill every day. And to me that always invites the question, and so what are you going to do about that? How are you going to do that?
Yeah, and I think also it potentially opens itself up to humor.
Yes, yes. Yes.
We humans.
If we're lucky at ourselves. I mean, if we're lucky, we ultimately find even our tragedies funny, right?
I hope so.
Leon, it's fantastic talking to you.
You too, Martha.
And I really enjoy being in this play with you.
Me too. Absolutely. It's a great pleasure.
If anyone wants more information about our production of Endgame, directed by Frank Galati, please go to our website at www.steppenwolf.org. Thanks. I would meet you in the